you got?
Cooking.
How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Good grief! This next week is going to be a really busy one for the sports world. Well, I should say the professional sports world. College sports won't be all that busy. Unless we're talking about those new NIL rules. And I should probably clarify for those of you who don't keep up with college sports, NIL stands for Name, Image, Likeness. And that refers to these new rules that now allow college athletes to make money from the commercialization of their name, image, or likeness. This is a real hot-button issue on sports talk radio and in the print media, too, because college athletes have not been able to make money of any kind for many years now. And to fully appreciate the implications of all these new NIL rules, you have to understand the history behind all of this. Way back in the dark ages, you know, when I was a kid, college athletes were supposed to strictly maintain their amateur status. And one of the ways they did that was by banning all college athletes from making money while they were in school. This was mandated by the NCAA because it was revealed that many top-rated high school recruits were being paid substantial amounts of money by rich alums to convince these kids to play for their school. In fact, that scandal eventually contributed to the breakup of the old Southwest Conference back in the day. But long before that happened, the NCAA banned any kind of payment to an athlete, and they even banned athletes from getting a job while they were playing college sports. The NCAA was afraid that alums would get around the rules by giving a talented athlete a job that he or she wouldn't even have to show up for, but for which they would be paid handsomely. And to be fair, the NCAA was right to be paranoid about that, because that's exactly what many rich alums were doing. Well, say the star quarterback on the football team was given a job by a rich alum's car dealership as a car jockey. You know, he just moved cars around to make the dealership's parking lot operate smoothly. But the rich alum who owned the dealership would simply tell the quarterback, "Yeah, you don't have to bother showing up for work. I'll just pay you for doing nothing." Needless to say, that was a powerful recruiting tool to lure that high school player to the school from which the rich alum had graduated. That's why the NCAA banned college athletes from even holding jobs while they were actively playing sports for the school. Even if the athlete didn't actually work for the rich alum's business, the alum could always make a deal with a buddy who owns some other business and say, "Hey, you hire the star quarterback and you pay him, but I'll pay you money under the table." Yeah, people who wanted to cheat the system could always find ways to get around the rules. And those pay-to-play scandals didn't just involve the big state schools. My alma mater, TCU, and our crosstown rival, SMU, we were among the programs that got hit with some of the most severe sanctions from the NCAA. Heck, SMU got the death penalty. So this was not just a problem for UT and A&M. It went across the board. That's why most schools bent over backwards trying to make sure their athletes knew the rules and didn't break them. For instance, when I was at TCU, we had a star running back whose name I won't use because I didn't get his permission to use his name and I don't want to embarrass him. Anyway, this star running back couldn't have a job, and so he was constantly broke. He didn't even have enough money to take his girlfriend out to eat at a fast food joint or go to a movie on the weekends. It was okay for me to work part-time or even full-time on a radio station to earn extra money. But the running back couldn't because some rich alum might give him a job and pay him whether he actually showed up for work or not. So there were several of us who were his friends, and we would all pitch in a few bucks so the poor guy could take his girlfriend out on a date once in a while. It was just stupid to me as a young man. But as an older man, I can see why it was a rule. The system was ripe for abuse. but at the same time, athletes were being exploited by the schools. Come on. These schools were, and still are, making millions off the talent of these young athletes, especially football and basketball players. And these kids can't even afford to pay for a movie? That's just wrong. And finally, these new NIL rules will hopefully change that. However, the devil is in the details, just like it always is. Already a fan website for a big state school, right here in our state, has arranged for a business that's owned by a rich alum of that big state school to pay $10,000 each to two star football players to take part in an interview on that website. Now, let me be clear, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a perfectly reasonable way for a player to benefit financially from the use of his name, image, or likeness. It's going to allow these young athletes to have some spending money, unlike my friend the running back who couldn't do that back in the 60s. My concern with this new rule is that only the star players will get anything out of it. The kids who are not high-profile heroes, they're going to be faced with the same restrictions that college athletes have always faced. They still won't be able to get jobs to help subsidize their scholarships and give them some walking-around money. And that's not a good solution for me. Something needs to be put in place that will help all student athletes, not just the kids at the top of the roster, you know? Wow, I didn't mean to get that far afield, sorry. Because I actually started out by talking about how busy the week is going to be for professional sports teams, and it will be. For instance, Thursday is the first full day of NFL training camp for the Houston Texans rookies and veterans, and the NBA draft will be held later that night. So let's take these two events one at a time. The Texans training camp is going to be a very big deal this year because there are so many issues to be addressed. First and foremost, what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? I mean, nobody expects him to report to Texans training camp, so he won't get paid. But what happens if he does? At this point, the Texans are as fed up with Watson is fed up with them. It's a mutual lack of admiration society, if you will. But Watson could really make things uncomfortable for the Texans if he walked into the bubble on Kirby Drive Thursday morning, couldn't he? I don't think that's going to happen, but wow, what a nuclear bomb that would be if he did. Then, the Rockets, on the other hand, have already shown us what to expect from them. They're rebuilding from the ground up, and that whole process starts Thursday night in New York City. All the Rockets players we've grown to know and love, they're long gone. And this franchise is going to make it or break it based on what they do and who they draft just a few days from now. The Rockets have a basket full of high draft picks. Ha ha! See what I did there? Basket full, basketball. Okay, never mind. The future of this team. Heck, the future of this franchise hinges on the decisions that the leaders of this team make between now and then. It'll be interesting, to say the very least. And then there's the only professional sports team in town that has a legitimate shot at doing something significant in the next year. Or three, the Astros. Yes, they need to win these games against teams like the Rangers, who suck so bad. But I'm more concerned about the long-term health of this club, starting with Carlos Correa, who's a free agent at the end of the year. I know he struggled at the plate at times, but there hasn't been a more dependable and consistently great shortstop in baseball than Carlos Correa. And I also know that the Astros have a policy of not paying big or long-term contracts to players. But I just have three words to say to the Houston Astros organization about Carlos Correa. Pay the man. How many times have we seen Carlos Correa make a ridiculously incredible play, or hit a gigantic home run, or just simply be a leader on the field or in the clubhouse? Carlos Correa is one of the top players in the game right now, and the Houston Astros just need to suck it up and pay the man. Stop fooling around here. Don't take a chance on losing this guy. Sign him to a contract when the season is over, for crying out loud. Yep, this next week is going to be a busy one in sports, for sure. But you know, I promise a good time will be had by all on today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, too, because we're going to host a young woman who's known as the Sugar Fairy. This woman knows how to satisfy your sweet tooth, you know what I mean? So stick around for an interesting conversation with a pastry chef. She bakes up some of the tastiest treats you've ever heard of. And, interestingly enough, they're right here in Houston.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas, but they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
First timer alert, please say hello to Rebecca with two C's, Mason with two S's. Rebecca Mason or Mace? How do I say your name, Rebecca?
Masson.
Okay, there we go. So it's Rebecca Masson of Fluff Bake Bar in the Heights. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure, this is going to be fun. Rebecca has a long and impressive resume as a pastry chef, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. My goodness, what's that?
Sorry, it was the air conditioner. I was outside with the dog for a moment.
Wow, that really scared me there. I thought the world was coming to an end. Let's start off by having you introduce yourself to our audience. Give us your personal background. You know, where were you born, reared, go to school, that kind of thing.
Okay, so I was born in Laramie, Wyoming.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm actually a fourth generation born in Wyoming.
Where'd you go to school?
Actually, when I was really young, we moved to Dallas. And so all the way through high school, I was in Dallas.
So let's stick to your childhood for just a minute before we move on to your professional life. Uh-huh. Who was your first mentor in the kitchen?
That's really funny because no one in my family really cooks. I mean, we're, you know, obviously a very meat and potato centric family because of where we lived. And it was more, we ate because we needed to live, right? We weren't living to eat like we do now.
Well, your bio says, against a number of odds, Masson secured a spot at the famed Le Cordon Bleu School in Paris.
Yeah.
What were the odds you were up against?
I didn't speak French. How was I going to pay for it? You know, and I had already done my undergrad. I went back to the University of Wyoming. So I'd already done my undergrad. And I was basically a snowboard bomb in Breckenridge when I decided, because when I was in college, that's where I learned to bake.
Hmm.
Right? I worked at this really awesome little place called Coal Creek Coffee in Laramie, Wyoming.
Ah.
And the owner, John, you know, John was the first chef I ever met. And so he basically poked and prodded me every day, asking me to come to work at 4 a.m. to learn how to bake. And finally, I gave in one day and did it.
Well, let's go back to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris. What was it like to study at such a prestigious cooking school? Was it a pressure cooker? Excuse the pun. Or was it kind of laid back and easy going?
It definitely had its challenges. And then it definitely, like, because I already had somewhat of a knowledge of baking, the first trimester I found kind of easy, but it obviously got more difficult. And it's very hard. Like, I got a tutor in French so that, because I had to have a working knowledge to get an internship. So it definitely got easier to understand people, but you know, we have translators and stuff, but sometimes you lose something in the translation. But you definitely could see the passion in all of these French men who were teaching us how to do the pastry.
Well, from Cordon Bleu, you did land an internship. Where was it?
Mm-hmm. At the Hotel Bristol in Paris. It's a 5-star hotel. While I was there, they got their second Michelin star, and now they're 3 Michelin star. And I worked under the pastry chef, Gilles Marchal. And actually, Monsieur Marchal has left the Bristol, and he now has his own pastry shop in Paris, which I'm lucky to go visit when we can travel.
Well, we don't speak no French around here, so you're going to have to say all these names for us. By 2004, you landed at the Red Cat. You were working for Jimmy Bradley. Now, there's a name I can pronounce.
Yeah.
But the Red Cat was the place where you ultimately got featured with several of your dessert recipes in their cookbook, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I worked for Mr. Bradley for a couple of years. I love that man to this day. And he really kind of, I mean, I'd had a pastry chef job prior to that, but he really, I mean, so Jimmy's a chef, but he was ultimately the owner and he had a couple restaurants, but he really kind of, I don't know, let me blossom as a pastry chef.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I definitely like learned how to, you know, run a kitchen, create menus, all that kind of stuff. And really just kind of grew in that 2 years when I was working for him.
And then you landed at a place called BLT Prime. You work for another guy whose last name I can't pronounce. What is it?
Laurent Tarondel.
Yeah, thank you very much. So you were bouncing around quite a bit the first 5 years of your career. We can relate to that because the broadcasting industry and the culinary industry share that nomadic lifestyle. I moved around quite a bit in my early career, too. Tell us, what did all those different jobs and all those different places teach you?
Well, yeah, you as a young pastry cook, you tend to kind of stick around about a year, year and a half at places. And then, you know, because every chef that you work under is different. So you learn something different everywhere you go. And that's what helps you kind of build yourself as a pastry chef. So after working for Jimmy for a couple of years, I felt like I could take on something bigger. And which is why I took the job with Mr. Tarondel. And it was giant, but it was different. It was interesting. BLT Prime is a steakhouse. It was the first steakhouse in New York City to have like a dry age room.
Wow.
It was crazy, but it was also,
isn't everything pricey in New York City?
Well, and this was like 2006. So it was kind of great. Like, I feel like the prices you saw there are the prices we see here now.
Yeah. So, yeah.
but it was, you know, it was definitely worth the bang for your buck. So you were definitely getting top quality.
But nothing was quite as adventurous as your next move to Houston.
Yeah.
So tell us, how did that happen?
So basically I had kind of like reached my mental limit of New York City. So I was there about 6 years and I was tired. So I started interviewing kind of all over this country. And when you interview for a pastry chef job, you go try out. So you come to the place where you want to work and they give you some parameters, or they say, just make us a tasting for the chef. And then you obviously eat in their restaurant. And so when I had come to Houston, I had already been to Boston, LA, Dallas, Denver. And so I had here and I had Philadelphia. That was the last two. So I came here. And so I walked in. It was at 17 at the old Sam Houston Hotel downtown.
Yes.
I walked in. I had dinner. And, you know, the bonus of Houston is my mom and my stepdad live here. So the three of us had dinner. And I just really, really loved Ryan's food. It was delicious and comfortable and technically sound. It was great. And so I was already kind of smitten by the time I'd gotten done with dinner. So I walked in the next morning into the kitchen and started working. His sous chef was a young lady named Tracy Hartman, who to this day is one of my greatest friends. And so when you have two women in a kitchen, it can go one of two ways. And we went the positive way. I made them, I don't even know how many things I made, 6 or 7 different desserts and plated desserts and all sorts of things. And they were like, yeah, this is great. We like you, blah, blah, blah. This is the best part of the story. So I'm at Philadelphia and I'm interviewing at a place called Morimoto. It's very seafood centric. So when I walked into the kitchen, I was like, oh my God, this place smells like fish. Everything I make will taste like fish. Cats will follow me home because I smell like fish. So I did my prep work and went home, went to the hotel. I had to come back one more day. And I had gotten an email from Ryan. And to this day, I tell him this is why I took the job. So he's like, you know, we liked you, blah, 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 blah. You know, we'd like to offer you the job. Let us know. Sincerely, Ryan Para. P.S. Morimoto smells bad.
Ryan is one of our favorite people here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding us of Ryan. We need to have him back on soon. Clearly, you blended right into the fabric of Houston's vibrant culinary scene, and you've been here ever since. So we want to talk about how you established Fluff Bake Bar in the next segment. Can you stick around?
Of course, yes.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back with Rebecca, how do you say it again?
Masson.
Yeah, Masson? Okay, did I say it right this time? We left our story of wanderlust and confections when Rebecca left the Big Apple and traveled to the Bayou City to work for our old friend Ryan Parra,
We love Ryan on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
Yeah.
But Rebecca was steadily making a name for herself with several very impressive awards. Toot your own horn, Rebecca. What'd you win?
So my first year in Houston, I won Best Pastry Chef from My Table magazine. And then I actually won it again in 2015.
Cool.
When I was in full swing at Fluff Bake Bar, both Houston Press and Culture Map named me Best Pastry Chef. And then again, My Table gave me Favorite Bakery.
And all of that led you to work with another old friend of ours named Chris Shepherd. Where did you work for Chris?
So when I left 17, I went to go work at Ibiza and Catalan. So I was working for both, ultimately Charles Clark, but both Charles and Chris.
And that led to a role with HEB Central Market. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so I kind of was like always in the back of my head. I mean, even though I've been a restaurant pastry chef, I've always kind of wanted my own shop. And so actually HEB started courting me because they were looking to kind of update their offerings. And so we had several long conversations, and ultimately, like, the little pastry department of the entire bakery would be mine. I would learn staffing a huge operation, food costing, scheduling, labor costs, blah, 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 blah. So I would learn the backside of running a bakery because I already knew how to make everything, right? Or for most part knew how to make everything. But I didn't understand, like, the business side of it.
Right.
So I was there for about 18 months learning, I mean, not only creating new treats for them and baking and running a staff, but also for my own knowledge, kind of getting a crash course in how to basically run a little business.
And all this led to a couple of cute nicknames for Rebecca. Locally, she's known as the Sugar Fairy. Now, how did that come about?
So actually, the Sugar Hooker started first.
Oh.
And it was Chris Shepherd and Antonio Gianola. And Antonio was the wine guy at Catalan.
Yes.
And it just was this thing. And it just, somebody said hooker and someone said sugar hooker and it stuck.
But what about Sugar Fairy? Where'd that come about?
Chris's wife at the time, Rocio, thought I was more of a sugar fairy. Like I was more sprinkling sugar around. So both of those nicknames kind of originated at Catalan.
And after all these job changes and all these name changes, Rebecca finally decided to strike out on her own and establish her first brick and mortar location in Midtown. This was 2015. Fill us in on how Fluff Bake Bar came about.
Well, you have to go back a couple years in 2011 when Ryan Parra enters my life again, and him and Morgan Weber were about to open Revival Market, and they came to me and they said, "We have this pastry case. Do you want to fill it?"
Huh.
And I went, "Okay." So I found a commissary. I got some sheet pans and the mixer my mom gave me in the early 90s, and I just started baking. And so the first 4 years of Fluff were actually wholesale and direct to consumer out of a commissary. And I just kept growing and growing. And I think I had like 15 wholesale accounts by the time I left that commissary. And so that just kind of like the natural progression was to open a brick and mortar, which we opened in Midtown in 2015.
Fluff Bake Bar is described as, quote, a combination of centuries old European culinary traditions and a decidedly clever rethinking of beloved homemade favorites from childhood. Translate all that and give us some examples, Rebecca.
Like the perfect thing is the SHO. We call it, it's the Sugar Hooker Oreo. We had to change it because, you know, we got a cease and desist from Oreo. But anyway, the basic premise of it is everyone knows Oreos, right? But we take it and we use great butter, really nice cocoa powder, salt, all of these things, and just kind of make it the Oreo on steroids. So it's way better than what you get at the grocery store.
Hmm.
So we do things like we have s'mores and we have, you know, like even just a chocolate chip cookie. Like it's a chocolate chip cookie, but it's a really good chocolate chip cookie, and we elevate it by the type of ingredients that we use.
Well, Fluff Bake Bar's website,
is what I would call a delightful trip into tasty pastries and baked goods. And our executive producer, Greg Berlocker, visited Fluff Bake Bar, and he mentioned lemon pound cake. Tell us about that.
It's just your good old-fashioned lemon pound cake. Not much there. You know, in the winter, we get to use Meyer lemons that were grown here locally. I have a couple customers that unload their trees on me, so... it's even better kind of in the winter months because it's Houston can produce some damn fine Meyer lemons.
He also said that the bagel balls stuffed with scalloped potatoes and cheese was especially good. What's that all about?
So every Saturday morning we do like breakfasty stuff. We don't do it every day. We just do it on Saturday mornings and we just do crazy things like, we might have, like last Saturday, we had kolaches with Franklin barbecue chopped beef. Sometimes we have sausage, the bacon sausage from Chris Shepherd or Blood Brothers. Like we try to support our friends. And then sometimes we like think of some crazy things. And so I had this one for a long, long time ago in New York. And it was basically like you make scalloped potatoes, but we made ours loaded baked potato with cheddar and bacon and caramelized onions and that. And then we wrap it in a bagel dough and bake it. It's delicious.
Well, a baked potato is baked after all.
Yeah.
But we're all about meat here on Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Meat. We're men. We eat meat. So we want to know about this buffalo chicken quiche.
And it's another one of our Saturday morning specials that we've done. We take chicken tenders and, you know, make them like buffalo chicken style, chop them up. We put cheddar cheese and the quiche filling, and then after it's baked, and we serve it with a little blue cheese and celery on top.
And another decadence that Greg raved about was the couch potato cookie. You mentioned chocolate chip cookies a minute ago. What is a couch potato cookie?
A couch potato cookie is, it's our bestseller. It's kind of crazy.
Hmm.
It's more, we do that play on salty and sweet. So it has potato chips, pretzels, cornflakes, marshmallows, chocolate chips. And wait, did I get potato chips, pretzels, cornflakes, marshmallows, chocolate chips? Yes.
What else, Rebecca? Tell us another offering or item from Fluff Bake Bar that we haven't touched on already.
So we do cakes and they're special order, but we have our cupcakes, but it's essentially a slice of cake in a cup because I don't like traditional cupcakes.
Huh.
But this is great. You eat it with a spoon. If you don't eat it all, you put a lip on and put it back in the fridge. Eat some more for breakfast the next day. But our most popular one is the Veruca Salt, which is my favorite character from Willy Wonka.
Ah.
It is a devil's food cake with salted caramel buttercream and pretzel crunch.
And there are a whole host of other items on Fluff Bake Bar's website. So tell us how to find you online, Rebecca.
So we have fluffbakebar.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram at Fluff Bake Bar. Instagram's probably the best way to follow us. That way you know like what we're making Saturday morning and what we make cinnamon rolls on Sunday morning, so you know what flavor we're making. And then if we, you know, introduce something new. So that's probably the best place to follow us.
And what is the exact address of your location?
It's 1701 West 15th Street.
And can we just call you on the telephone?
Sure. Our phone number is 713-522-1900.
This has been Rebecca. Say your last name again, Rebecca.
Masson.
This has been Rebecca Masson, two C's and two S's, of Fluff Bake Bar, two F's and two B's.
Exactly.
Thanks for your time, Rebecca. Let's do this again real soon, okay?
Yes, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd's Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
With apologies to Glenn Campbell, he's a Wyoming cowboy. It's my old Hudson and Harrigan buddy, Fred Olson, who's fresh back from vacation in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Howdy there, cowboy.
Yeah,
Howdy to yourself. I know you're asking yourself, did he stay 5 or 6 days?
Wait a minute. That was Dirty Harry, wasn't it?
That was, yeah. Wait a minute. Well, that's all I can do this time of day. Yeah.
Well, you said it was 90 degrees in Jackson Hole while you were there, so I just looked it up. The current weather there is a predicted high today of 78. Ain't that just the look?
Wait a minute.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah, it was 90 or so when we were there. But, you know, the humidity was like 13 to 18%.
Right.
So if you stood in the shade, you go, this is really nice. You stood in the sun, you go, I'm burning.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it reminds me of Army basic training in Fort Lewis, Washington. I remember the drill sergeant told us, gentlemen, if you were here in the summer months, you'd find this a veritable paradise. Sunshine, 75 degrees every day. However, this is November, what we affectionately refer to as monsoon season. It will rain every single day you're here. And you know, I thought to myself, Fred, horse apples, it's not going to rain every day. It rained every day I was there except one, and that day it snowed. Ain't that the luck?
You know, it's the one place I never wanted to work was Seattle, even though they had some great radio stations. People go up there to just get depressed and never be the same. I went, no, I could be depressed in Texas and be happy about it.
But you lived in Oregon for a while. Isn't Oregon a lot like Washington State?
No, I lived in Eastern Oregon,
which
is different. That's plains. And, you know, and even I lived on a plateau in the Blue Mountains, which, you know, was beautiful and nice. But it got cold living up there. But I don't recall it ever getting a lot of rain. We'd get snow. But, you know, when you're from there, it's like, oh, it's just winter. Now I'd look at that and go, no way in hell unless I had a Toro snowblower.
Well, before we came on the air, you and I got to talking about WLS in Chicago. I used to listen to that all the time when I was a kid on a transistor radio that I hid under my pillow. And I can remember my father going, Randy, turn off that radio and go to sleep.
Yeah, it's. I'd look back at some of the people that I wanted to emulate, you know, when I first got in radio. And I sounded like this, you know, I sounded like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And you go, well, you know, you want to go with. When's my voice going to get deeper? Because all those guys, they were big voice jocks, and they all sounded so funny and so smart in 10, 15 seconds. And I remember I worked with a guy who used to listen to WLS out of Chicago while he was on the air. So he'd play a record that goes, and here's Terry Jack, Seasons in the Sun. They'd turn off his monitor and listen to WLS and try to win their contest. And I looked at that and I went, but you're working here and you're listening to a station in Chicago, 1,000 miles away. What's the deal?
Yeah.
So I started listening and I started, you know, we all look to somebody to sound like, right? You've always had a great voice, you know.
Yeah.
You've always had a basso profundo and I didn't always, have that. In fact, I would love to do the Mickey Mouse voice. If anybody from Disney is listening, I can really do a great Mickey Mouse.
He actually can, folks. I've heard him do it several times.
So I'm just thinking in my retirement, you could pay me like millions of dollars to be Mickey. If you're listening from Disney, just give me a call. Find me through Randy.
Oh, my.
Remember the people who inspired us. And you were definitely one of them in my life. All the guys I worked with in Dallas, you and Kevin McCarthy and Jake Roberts and Christopher Hayes and all these guys who gave me accountability. You know, if you screwed up, they'd call you at 2 a.m. and go, hey, that's wrong. You know? So by the time we got to Kilt, we got free reign to kind of do what we wanted for at least 20 of the 30 years.
Yeah.
And gosh, I think back on it probably more than ever as I get older, I realize how much fun we had. I would get up in the morning and I couldn't wait to get to work.
Yeah.
And I must tell you, the last few years when it was more corporate, I really prayed on the elevator going up that we wouldn't have a lot of meetings that didn't go anywhere, that we would have wisdom and discernment and fun. But we were blessed, man. So blessed.
We were. You were mentioning the guy who was listening to WLS while he was on the air. I knew a guy in Fort Worth radio, and one Sunday I was listening to him do his weekend shift, and he was doing all the jokes that you could find in the back of Parade magazine. And and I went, what? I just read Parade magazine in the Sunday paper, and so I knew all the jokes, and I went, wait a minute, I just read all this stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. I used to do a character, remember, in Dallas. It was a guru, Maharishi Mahesh Kilimi Bonibeli.
I remember it well.
Which would not make it on the radio. Now they would call me culturally appropriating racist or something. But anyway, it was a funny character, and it made me stand out. But you know where I used to get some of those lines? I'd go up to, what's the mall?
North Park Mall.
North Park Mall. I go there, and I go into these high-end card shops, and I look at funny cards. And if I found a funny... And if I found a real funny line, I would use it with that character. Because he was an East Indian character, you know. And one of them was, if it takes a chicken and a half, a day and a half, to lay an egg and a half, how long does it take a grasshopper with a wooden leg to kick all the seeds from a dill pickle?
We give up.
I don't know. There's no answer to it. I just thought it was funny. People would say, where do you come up with that stuff? North Park Mall car shop.
Thank you, Hallmark.
whatever those were, but you find it wherever you find it, and you use it.
Well, before we came on the air, you said you had a bunch of stuff to get done before it got too hot today. So what kind of stuff are we talking about here?
Well, I don't know about Houston, but we've had over 3 feet of rain in the last 3.5 months out here, and... Really? I mean, that's no kidding. And so we had another 8.5 when we were in Wyoming. So we come home to, I mean, this, the weeds are just nuts. So I've got to weed eat the garden, get ready for next season, and weed eat around the front gate. And then I got to weed eat over there, and I'm looking at another place I got to weed eat. So I'm going to be weed eating.
Well, at least you won't be hungry.
No, but I'm probably douse myself with a garden hose.
Yeah.
I'm going to be hot, so. Just, I finally got to mow after weeks of not being able to mow this place.
I have often wondered, why doesn't the grass grow nice and green and need to be mowed in the winter months when it's 75 degrees every day? I guess that just wasn't part of God's master plan, huh?
Well, if you want to plant a perennial or annual rye, you can do that at home for yourself, but you'll feel bad around December when you have to go out and mow the yard. But you can't do that. I did that one season. I went, I'm done. I'm done.
I've learned not to second guess God. It usually doesn't end well for me when I do that. You know what I mean?
Right. If you want to make him laugh, tell him your plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
Well, have you read any good books lately? You know, in this hot weather, it's nice to stay inside under the air conditioner. I just read a book called Sycamore Row.
Yeah.
By John Grisham.
Right.
And I found out, I didn't know this, it was the sequel to A Time to Kill.
Yeah, I believe I read that one. I just started a Grisham, oddly enough, that you would mention this. I just started one yesterday called The Guardian. Have you read it?
No, I have not.
I like it so far. It's pretty good. Grisham had kind of gotten wishy-washy for me a little bit. You know, when you write 30, 40 books after a while, I think you kind of run out of ideas for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sycamore Row was good. Time to Kill was good. If you people have seen the movie with Matt Damon, but the book is really good.
And there's one more in that series called A Time for Mercy, and I haven't been able to get that one on loan from the Fort Bend County Library yet. Everybody's got it checked out. Have you heard of that one?
I haven't, but isn't using that library amazing? Also, audiobooks from your library. Just save yourself a ton of money in buying books and also audiobooks. Just join your local library, go in, get a card, go online, borrow books. And it's what a gift, man.
Yeah, I don't listen to audiobooks. That's too much like actually voicing an audiobook for me, because I'm constantly critiquing the guy who's reading the audiobook.
You know, I was reading the other day, because you and I have both done audiobooks, and there was a guy, you've ever heard of George Guidall?
No.
He's done over 3,000 audiobooks.
Wow.
And he does a lot of the Daniel Silva books.
Oh, holy smoke, the show is over, brother.
No.
Yes. I'm sorry, I got to let you go. Give my love to Bev, and we'll talk next week, okay?
Got it.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something up with me?